This morning we are continuing our message on the road to Emmaus, or the walk to Emmaus, from last week. And what appropriate time to share the second half of this, because we're taking communion, and that's what Jesus did with the two disciples to Emmaus. Cleopas was one, the other is not named. But we can learn a lot about Jesus' methods of reaching people, our friends, our neighbors, with the gospel. And retracing what the scriptures had already been revealed to them, and yet they had not yet comprehended everything. And we have not yet comprehended everything from Scripture, have we? And we won't until we get into the Scriptures and read it for ourselves. The Word is given to us, and we should take the privilege of reading it on a daily basis. And I want to emphasize that today, because we can better learn how to live our life out on a daily basis if we know what the Scripture tells us, because this is our roadmap to how to live our life. And when we get in a pinch or get in a situation, circumstance, and don't fully understand, you know, the right way out, the Bible gives us that instruction. It's better than an atlas. Then, you know, when you're driving, or a GPS, because they can lead you in the wrong way, right? The Word of God will not lead you in the wrong way. Always in God's way, in God's timing. So I want to emphasize that to you this morning. And again, we can learn so much from these two disciples. And it was for a reason that Jesus caught up with them. Met with them. It wasn't just happenstance. It was preordained for these two men to go in the wrong direction, where they should have been with the people back in Jerusalem and the fellowship and getting reinforced and encouraged about the resurrection. And they was going to Emmaus, 7 miles out of the way, direction to Emmaus, when they should have been with the other believers. When you miss out and don't get with other people, other believers in the church, in any given time, we lose out. We miss a blessing. And Jesus wanted to catch up and get them on the right track, and that's what he did. And so follow along with me now. We're walking to Emmaus, and taken from Luke chapter 24, verse 13 will be our first verse. And behold, two of them were going that very day to the village named Emmaus, which was about 7 miles from Jerusalem. And they were talking with each other about all of these things which had taken place. While they were talking and discussing, Jesus himself approached and began traveling with them. But their eyes were prevented from recognizing him. That was for a reason. Verse 17, and he said to them, what are these words that you are exchanging with one another as you are walking? And they stood still, looking sad. You probably can identify with their sadness, their pain that they were going through. And then verse 18 says, one of them, named Cleopas, answered and said to him, are you the only one visiting Jerusalem and unaware of the things which have happened here in these days? And he said to them, Jesus said to them, what things? And they said to him, the things about Jesus, the Nazarene, who was a prophet, mighty in deed, and in word, and in sight of God, and all the people. And how the chief priest and the rulers delivered him to the sentence of death and crucified him. But we were hoping that it was he who was going to redeem Israel. You see, you get that? That was their expectations. Indeed, besides all of this, it is the third day since these things happened. But also some women among us amazed us. They informed us. They informed them. When they were all at the tomb early in the morning and did not find his body, Jesus' body, they came saying that they had also seen a vision of angel who said that he was alive. Some of those who were with us went in the tomb and found it just exactly as women also had said. But him they did not see. And he said to them, O foolish men, slow of heart to believe in all that the prophets have spoken. Was it not necessary for the Christ to suffer these things and to enter into his glory? Then beginning with Moses and with all the prophets, he explained to them the things concerning himself in all the scriptures. And they approached the village where they were going, and he acted as though he were going farther. But they urged him, saying, Stay with us, for it is getting towards evening, and the day is now nearly over. So he went in to stay with them. And when he had reclined at the table with them, he took the bread, and he blessed it, and breaking it, he began giving it to them. Then their eyes were opened, and they recognized Jesus, and he vanished from their sight. They said to one another, Were not our hearts burning within us while he was speaking to us on the road, while he was explaining the scriptures to us? And they got up that very hour and returned to Jerusalem and found gathered together 11 and those who were with them, saying, The Lord has really risen and has appeared to Simon. They began to relate their experiences on the road and how he was recognized by them in the breaking of bread. You get that? In the breaking of bread. They recalled what Jesus had said about the scriptures, about the Moses and the prophets, revealing to them about the coming Christ and Messiah and the breaking of bread. Then their eyes were opened. There's a lot of scriptures in the Bible that explains these very events and episodes that took place at a very different time for people to be renewed or refreshed or to remember what the prophecies said, even in the Old Testament and now in the New. And that's why I say this is a wonderful way. Jesus walking with these two disciples, discussing, talking with them, the message that he used to reach out to these two and get them on the right track on their thinking, because they were sad. We can see the expression of their pains. And not realizing that is Jesus himself right there in front of them. With all the expectations that were in their minds and their hearts, it clouded their thinking. And of course, it was for a reason that they didn't recognize Jesus at one time. He wanted to create a relationship and bond with these two and get them to understand, you know, Christ had risen. But he was trying to fill them out. And until we get into the Word and read it ourselves and better understand these situations like this, that we can even get in ourselves and better understand that the Scriptures is our backup. Just like Jesus used the Scriptures when he was tempted by Satan. He used Scriptures as a backup. And as more that we learn the scriptures, the better we will be able to respond and help others as well that's on maybe their road to Emmaus, not understanding in their own life their situations and their pains and the hardships they're going through. So, in our introduction this morning, going back to last week to help you to remember some of the things that took place last week and tie that in this morning with you, Jesus walked with them, joining them in their activity and content. See, their activity and their content in their discussion of what had happened. And then also, Jesus talked with them, inquiring about their discussion. See, he got involved with them. He showed that he was concerned and he was compassionate. And yet they didn't understand at this moment this was Jesus. But with them being disheartened and dismayed at this time, it gave them a time to vent. How many of us sometimes go through something and it helps to talk to someone else? It helps to ventilate, to get this pressure or this distress off yourself and get it out and share it with someone else. And this Jesus understood that. He saw their pain and suffering. He could understand the emotions that they were going through. He understood that they loved him, but yet didn't understand and were prevented to understand and know him at that moment. And not only that, Jesus utilized the truth of the scriptures to deal with their unbelief. See, their unbelief was, has he really risen from the grave? And he was dealing and helping them to better understand that. He took them back to the scriptures again, to Moses and the prophets, and the scriptures from the Old Testament revealing what was going to be taking place, and Jesus coming to die on the cross for our sins. And then Jesus shared about the meal with them for the sake of friendship. You want to win somebody over? Invite them over for a lunch or supper. Get them involved. Do something with them. Build up that relationship, that friendship. And that's why they said, oh, it's evening. It's getting late. They were opening up their home to Jesus, and Jesus said, well, why not? He went in and sat down with them, reclined as they did in those days. Instead of sitting in chairs, they reclined, laid down side of where they were eating. And the Bible says, when he broke the bread, then their eyes were open. That was a divine way for God to let them know that he was the Savior. So, like Jesus and like the disciples, we have the greatest opportunity to encounter the risen Jesus if we have eyes to see. So this morning, continuing our message on Jesus walking to Emmaus with the two disciples, they had a fascinating dinner, as in 30 through 35. And this is in keeping with the ancient Near East rules of hospitality. They did this. We need a little bit of that hospitality today, don't we, in our lives? The two followers then invited a stranger. That's what they did. They invited strangers in. And at this point in time, Jesus was a stranger to them because they didn't recognize him to stay the night. Jesus accepted their offer, yet maintained his cover in order to complete the lesson he wanted them to learn. He had begun teaching them just outside of Jerusalem. So this was a lesson to teach them some things about him. So, according to verse 16, their eyes were prevented from recognizing Jesus. Even in their heart, they didn't recognize Jesus at that moment. He revealed his identity only after taking great pains to explain to them the things concerning himself in all the scriptures. Now, Luke concludes this story with another bit of irony. The disciples had been staring into the face of the risen Jesus, yet they were prevented from seeing him until they buried their faulty expectations, until they buried them, put them aside. Then, a careful review of the scriptures, and that's why I say it is so important for you and me to get into the scriptures. And it gave them a divine perspective on what they once saw as a dismal circumstance. Getting into the scriptures, or breaking that bread, see, once their eyes were open to the reality of implications of the resurrection, Jesus became visible to their physical eyes. Let me say that again. Jesus became visible to their physical eyes and opened up their spiritual eyes as well. Now, the Greek phrase translated, I won't go into the Greek forms of that, but the Greek identifies this very well when it says that their eyes were opened and they recognized him. Literally means their eyes were completely open. Completely. I mean, whatever was clouding up their vision or whatever it was, unbelief, and that was part of that. But Jesus was able to share scriptures, renew their thinking and so forth, and they comprehended him, fully comprehended Jesus at that moment. So this action was more than a mere recognition of his features. It was deeper. It was a divine recognition. So they came to recognize Jesus and all of his significance as Messiah, as the Son of God, and their risen Lord. They saw him as he was. Then Jesus literally became, he was visible, and then he vanished, invisible, as the scriptures say, meaning that he suddenly vanished from the midst once their eyes were open. In verse 31, now, their new resurrected hope carried them back to Jerusalem, where they should have been the whole time, where they should have been with the other believers, with Mary and the disciples, and that's who they went to. Say, oh, he is risen from the grave. New resurrection hope carried him back to Jerusalem to bear good news to the others. Now comes the application. Here's the application to this. And it's an application for us as well. And it's a good application for us to learn and know. As Luke tells the story of the two despondent disciples on the road to Emmaus, see, we can not help but identify with their pain. Because we go through times like this that we don't comprehend or identify with certain things, because a lot of times something that tragic happened, it's a shock to us, and it's a denial to us. And it was a denial to them. And see, we go through the same scenarios and same things as these two were going through. And yet, this was with Jesus in our own life, the simple things or some of the hardships we go through are not as simple. But we can identify with their pain until we get past the shock and denial part in our life and accept it. And maybe it's God is working out something in his way for us to open our eyes to see that he is in power, that he is in control, and not we ourselves. So we too are pilgrims on a journey through this life. We too despair of life circumstances from time to time. We too lose heart when our expectations comes to a tragic end. We didn't get what we wanted. It didn't turn out the way we thought it should have. But if we leave it in God's hand, it will always turn out for the good and the better for our lives. But remember, every trial is an opportunity to discover what God wants us to see, just like it did for these two disciples. So in the case of these two followers on the road to Emmaus, we must allow God to open our eyes. And see, He will open our eyes when we get into the Scriptures. That's where He took these two. He took them to the Scriptures. And they remember Jesus breaking bread and the Feast of the Passover and all of this different time that Jesus spent with them. It was then that it opened their eyes and it realized there's a significance to that. See, our eyes can be open. Our hearts, our spiritual eyes can be open when we take communion, when we take the bread, when we take the cup. It helps us to remember exactly what they were experiencing, that Jesus had died, He went to the grave, but He arose. And according to the Scripture, we can believe that now, even though we weren't there. But the Scriptures identifies, and it's an absolute. You might say, we can't prove anything, but we can accept by faith what the Scripture says because we weren't there. And that's what the believer does. That's what God wants us to do. Because Jesus told Thomas, believing is seeing. And Thomas saying, well, when I see, I'll believe. But He wants us to believe, and that becomes our seeing when we do that. Well, there's four things here, I think, for us to process. And it brings less difficulty in our lives if we will do, first of all, invite God in. Invite Him in. And this is the first thing that a person can do who is lost, to invite Jesus Christ into their life. And He will open many, many doors in our lives if we will open up to Him first of all. See, if you haven't begun a relationship with God, and God was building a relationship with these two, even though He had already established that, but rebuilding a relationship, then, you know, if we don't have a relationship, we will continue to struggle in vain. And that's what they were doing. They were struggling. And then we had to surrender our expectations. If you have certain expectations that hasn't been answered, maybe you need to turn them over to the Lord and let Him explain them to you and reveal those to you through discernment. See, personalize your prayer and then offer it to God. Personalize your prayer. Make it personal. God is a personal God. He was personal to these two disciples. Very personal. I mean, God, you know, Jesus could have went another direction. He could have stayed in Jerusalem. But He made it His purpose because He loved these two disciples and He followed them to Emmaus to help them to identify who they were. And they were two of His. He went after them to clarify, to help them on their journey through life. See, Jesus said, peace be with you. Every time He come into the room or saw the disciples, He wanted to remove any fear, any anxiety that they might have been experiencing. And that's why He would always say, peace be with you. Where is peace? It has to be here in the heart, doesn't it? We don't have peace in the heart, then we've got other things. Fear. You know, the song says, fear, He is a liar. He surely is. He's wanting these two disciples and his other 11 disciples, and Mary Magdalene and Joanna and all his followers back in Jerusalem to understand that they can have that peace. See, Jesus himself is our peace. So we need nothing else when we are terrified or when we're afraid other than Jesus' peace. You know, you may be fearing the consequences of your sin. Our sin is the consequences of ourselves. Fearing the approach of your enemy or fearing the future with its unknown contingencies. There's many uncertainties out there. That might be hindering your relationship. But until we turn it over to the Lord, we'll be struggling in vain, just like these two disciples. But Jesus himself is the antidote of fear. See, he keeps the soul that trusts him within the double doors of peace. And then the third thing is, seek God's perspective. Seek his, not your own. Now, we can have many, many perspectives on life, our own life, as far as that. But look at God's way. His way is always right. See, to help the two disciples see their circumstances from God's perspective, Jesus explained the scriptures to them. He explained them. And you know, when you don't study, or when you study the Bible, rather, and you don't understand something, get with somebody that you know that does study the Word of God and said, you know, what's your take on this? What's your interpretation on this? And a good way to get that is on Wednesday night. Amen? On Wednesday night, we get right into the Scriptures and we study straight out of the Bible. And it helps us all better understand the applications of our life. Because from Genesis to Revelation, it's right there for us to get, to comprehend. So we have the same opportunity to share God's vantage point by reading our only completely, what I call, reliable source of truth, the 66 books of the Bible. See, this doesn't have to be complicated. It doesn't have to be complicated. Just simply set a little time, 10 minutes a day, and read God's Word. 10 minutes. A lot of people spend more time in a newspaper, don't they? Or a magazine of some sort. You know, I love reading magazines, especially the things that I'm involved with in sports and things like that. That keeps my mind fresh and updated and so forth. But none of those will take the place of the Word of God when it comes to understanding how I am to live my life. And then finally, trust God's timing. See, God's timing was right on with these two disciples. Right on. When they needed Jesus most, he was right there for them. When you need him the most, he'll be right there for you. You don't have to look around and say, where are you, Jesus? You know he's right here if you're a Christian in your heart. All you have to do is just call on him. You know, I've called on him many, many times this week. And boy, he came to my rescue. He helped me. Helped me find something I misplaced. And I should ask him before I started looking. Now, I would save myself a lot of steps. And Brenda knows what I'm talking about. I called her and I said, you know, I lost the key. Well, Darryl Scott knows about that. I lost the key to the Lions building over here. And I said, Lord, you know where it is. Take me to it. And he did within 1 minute after I asked him. It was in my chair. It slipped out of my pocket. And I'd been everywhere else. I ain't went back home looking for it. It wasn't there. It was right there where I was sitting. And I just, you know, the Lord said, well, when you ask me, then I'll show you. And that's what I did. See, I was like these two disciples here, you know. I was dismayed. I was in a panic mode because it wasn't my key. But when I asked him, he showed me within a minute. I said, Lord, okay, I didn't ask you. I'm asking you now. And he showed me. It's amazing. It's amazing to me that how God works that way when we allow him to do that. See, growth usually requires a journey, and journey takes time. I learn something new every day on my journey, especially when I'm walking with the Lord in it. So we have to submit our will, our trust in his timing, because he is always faithful. Now, circumstances, like in these two, especially those involving loss, are usually perceived as difficult because reality does not mesh with our expectations. It doesn't come together always. So these two followers, and on the road to Emmaus, undoubtedly felt utterly alone as they mourned the death of their dreams. Their dreams was the Messiah, Jesus Christ, the ruler, the king. And during their suffering, God was indeed nearby. All they had to do is just recognize Jesus and call on him. See, he allowed their pain to continue until their own desire no longer held them captive. And then, like the two here on the Emmaus, you know, you do not travel alone. They didn't have to travel alone. See, God is always with you. He's always with us. Emmanuel, God with us. So, as I said last week, make a commitment to spend some time with him today. Today. You can do that. And Jesus said, I will never turn away the one who comes to me. And that's John 6:37. He will not turn you away. That's a guarantee. That's absolutely. Amen. Let us pray. Father God, thank you for this message, and help us to learn as these two disciples that you're not far away. That you're a prayer away, just one word away, Jesus. And you will come to our aid. You will help us. Whatever the need is here today, salvation, Lord, you're here to offer up yourself as the Savior of the world. Your personal rededication, a renewal of our relationship with you. If there's a need, a prayer need, you are able to meet that, and you will. We thank you, Lord. Bless this time together as we enter into this invitation and then our time breaking bread in the cup. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Our hymn of invitation this morning is I Gave My Life to Thee. May we stand as we sing.
Thank you.
may be seated as we prepare for the Lord's Supper this morning. We welcome anyone here that may not be a member here, but if you're here visiting our guest, you know that you've been saved by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. You're welcome to take communion with us this morning. Matthew chapter 26:26. And as they were eating, Jesus took bread, blessed, and broke it, and gave it to the disciples and said, "Take, eat, this is my body." Then he took the cup and gave thanks,